Exodus chapter number 6. Exodus chapter number 6. Kung naalala ninyo, last week na pag-aralan natin ang experience ni Moses na na-reject siya ng Pharaoh at na-reject siya ng mga tao ng Israel. Everybody rejected Moses and he felt the end of himself, the end of his efforts to serve, and he obeyed and it didn't work out and he was discouraged and he asked God why. And now the Lord in this passage here, in this chapter, begins to explain and respond to Moses's why, Lord. And really, God's promise renewed. This is what the chapter is about. Let's look at verse number 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do. And did you catch that? Now you will see what I will do. Now that you have done everything you can do, and you have tried everything you could possibly exhaust, you come to the end of yourself, now, the Lord says, I will do to Pharaoh. You will see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Of course, that strong hands referring to God's strong hand. And Pharaoh will respond eventually to God's strong hand. Verse 2, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. Huwag kalimutan, sa likod ng L-O-R-D na capitalize ay ang pangalan, personal na pangalan ng Panginoon, that is Jehovah, the personal name of God. I am the Lord. That is the Lord's response to Moses' why. Moses says, how come I'm rejected? What happened there, Lord? Why is this happening to me? And God wanted Moses to understand who God is. I am the Lord. And that's his reply. So when we come to the end of our experiences, when we exhaust our strength, we need to always remember who God is. Remember who God is. Verse 3, I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Well, here is a trouble, of course, for some. They don't understand what God's trying to communicate here. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew the Lord as God Almighty. They knew him in the mind. They knew him in their head that he was a covenant, faithful-keeping God, Jehovah. They knew him as Jehovah. But they did not experience the deliverance that Jehovah is about to perform. They've never gone through an experience like the Egyptian slavery. And so God says that they've never known him as the eternally faithful covenant-keeping God who will deliver them out of the mighty hand of Egypt. He's going to crush Egypt, and they never experienced that before. And truthfully, we realize that God is our one true helper. Our one true helper is really God Almighty. Man's help is limited. Even if you can have an audience with a politician, And even if they can give you financial help, man's help is limited. Those finances will dry up. if you can even get to them. Let's say you have a medical problem. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor, he can only help so much. Eventually, death will come upon us if Jesus doesn't come back. And the doctor will say, you have only a few months to live. And doc, is there not anything you can do? And of course, the doctor, all they can do is treat and fight the disease. And eventually, we come to that place where our bodies succumb to death. And so we find the only true help that can take us from earth to heaven is God Almighty. God, Jehovah God. He is our true helper. He is sovereign. He's in control. He's in charge. And every time God brings pain our way, the purpose is to teach us something. To teach us to trust in Him. Eventually, that pain's not going to go away. And it will eat you up. Clear until you are so exhausted from this world that you begin to look for a better world. You see? And so the negative, the painful negative pressures and pains that we experience ought to drive us closer to God if you respond correctly to it. Testings and trials drive us to the Lord. They pry our fingers from this world. So we latch on to the world with all of our power and all of our might. And then God begins to pry our fingers and prepares us for heaven through our slavery to the flesh, slavery to our sinful flesh. Jehovah, was I not known to them? God's most personal name. Pag narinig niyo yung pangalang Jehovah, ang ibig sabihin ng Jehovah, wala siyang simula, wala siyang katapusan. Dalawa ang ibig sabihin nun. Una, wala siyang simula, wala siyang katapusan. That means He's eternal. And pangalawa, ang ibig sabihin ng Jehovah, tapat. He is faithful. He remembers His covenant promise. And by the way, God deals with us according to His covenant. Now, we're not Jews, and we do not replace national Israel. God still has a plan and a program for Israel because God doesn't change. But what about us Gentile believers? Paano naman tayo mga Gentiles? Pero sumasampalataya naman tayo sa Messiah nila. But we do believe in their Messiah. We do trust Him as our Lord and Savior. We get to be a part of the covenant of God spiritually. We don't inherit the land. We will not have posterity here on earth as far as an eternal home on earth like the Jews will. But our home is in the Father's house. And we will always be with the Lord forever. And wherever the Lord is, that's where heaven is. And so, we get to be a part of that spiritual blessing. Remember, Abrahamic covenant has three aspects. It has a national aspect. It has the land aspect, the national aspect. It has the seed promise, multiple nations. And it also has a spiritual aspect. And that spiritual aspect is the forgiveness of sins. and eternal life. And how do you get that? Well, you get that when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, when you believe in Him and trust in Him alone. Trust in Him alone. And so, known here, I was not known, means to experience Jehovah in a vital way. To experience His action, His power, and His faithfulness. And so again, it took the slavery in Egypt to experience Jehovah. And that's the story of life. This is how it works in God's world. God brings us to trial to take us to the limit. And then we realize that God's the only help and we trust in Him. And then He works it all out. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. And so we can rejoice that God is in control, even though we are not in control. We need to realize that. We're not in control. God is in control. And now, God begins to show Moses how He will deliver Israel. He gives him seven I wills. The seven I wills of Jehovah in chapter 6. So let's look at that. Verse number 4, Exodus chapter 6, verse number 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, that's the land promise, and the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. By the way, God hears when we groan, when we pray. And I think, you know, that groaning there could be put in place of prayer. They may not have been praying directly, but every groan comes to the ears of God because they're related to Him in covenant. So does God, He doesn't just deal with us according to the covenant. He deals with us personally. He hears every groan. Ano ang groan sa Tagalog? Ha?
Hinaing,
no? Yes, hinaing. Naririnig ng Diyos ang hinaing ng bawat anak niya. Bawat ng mga Kristiyano ng ligtas. Naririnig ng Diyos ang hinaing natin even though hindi tayo nagpe-pray. Yung hinaing lang, yung luha natin, binibilang ng Diyos. God knows. God records. God keeps. Even the tears, God keeps. A record of everything. And verse 5, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Again, he deals with them personally and through the covenant. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will, there's your first I will, bring you out of the out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will, there's number 2, rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you. That word redeem means to be bought back. But merong special aspeto yung word redeem. Hindi lang redeem na babayaran kita, babayaran ko ang buwis para ikaw ay mabawi ko. Pero yung nagre-redeem, dito sa salitang redeem, ay kamag-anak. That's a family member who buys back someone from slavery. So what's God trying to say? He's trying to say that He will eventually become man like the Jews and join the family of human race in order to redeem human race, you see. So this is definitely million-dollar word, redeem. God will redeem. I'll redeem you with a stretch-out arm, with great judgments. I like that. Stretched-out arms. This was literally fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. Now, of course, here, The arm is a synecdoche. It's a figure of speech. It's referring to God's mighty act of delivering Israel from slavery to freedom. But this is also redemptive, and it looks to Jesus Christ and how He will stretch out His arm on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins and to redeem us, to bring us from slavery of sin to freedom in Jesus Christ, you see. Oh, what a mighty God we serve with great judgments. Verse 7, I will take you to Me for a people. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. He keeps repeating that. I am the Lord, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I, verse 8, I will bring you into the land concerning that the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Now, did this promise change? Is this promise for Israel? Well, didn't Israel reject their king? Maybe God's promises were misunderstood. Maybe we didn't understand His promise. No. It's clear, isn't it? God intends to bring them into the land and to give them the land for an inheritance. So when is that going to happen? When will Israel occupy their land? Because right now, Israel is not occupying everything. Right now, a portion, Bethlehem, is part of Palestine. And by the way, we don't call the land, the Holy Land, we don't call Israel, we don't call it Palestine. That word Palestine comes from Philistine, the land of the Philistines. So whose land is it? Is it Israel's land or is it Philistine's land? So don't call it Palestine. Even though some of the maps actually say land of Palestine. Well, depends on what you think of God's land promise. Okay, this is the land of Israel. So it belongs to them. Verse number 9. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses. Why? For the anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Sometimes people hurt so much that they are not ready to take in the Word of God. Dahil sa sobrang sakit ng Israel at ng experience nila, hindi sila handa na tumanggap sa salita ng Diyos. Remember this, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And sometimes giving them a Bible verse is not what they need. And I'm not saying that the answer is never in the Word or not in the Word. It's always in the Word. But the anguish of their spirit was so deep, their bondage was so cruel, they were strained, they were hurting, they weren't ready for the will of God, they weren't ready for the Word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh. See, God didn't even deal with the people. He sent Moses to deal with Pharaoh. And then the people will see the deliverance later. And then they'll come around, you see. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 10, saying, verse 11, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, whom am of uncircumcised lips? And basically what Moses is saying is, I'm not adequate. The people don't even listen to me, and they're my fellow men. How much more Pharaoh? He is wicked. He is fierce. I am no match for him. When it comes to rhetoric or speech, he is fully equipped. I am of uncircumcised lips. I'm inadequate. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And so God doesn't change his plans and purposes because of difficulties. Moses is still commissioned to go. Whether the people receive it or not, whether Pharaoh receives it or not, God says go. And so we must obey the Lord. And don't worry about speech. God takes care of those things. We just make sure that we're right with God in our heart. God takes care of the mouth. Your heart is taken care of. Now, verse 14, the Lord inserts a genealogy out of nowhere. Seemingly out of nowhere. It's not out of nowhere. These are the relatives of Moses and Aaron, specifically Levi, because they are Levites. And you have the tribe of Levi here, and the tribe of Reuben, and the tribe of Simeon. But this is why we know the Bible is God's Word, because it's not precious moments. You know, it's not precious moments Bible, where it's just fluff and flowers and fragrance. This is basically the nitty-gritty record of human history. This is historical. This is not made up. This is not fiction. This is legit genealogy. Verse 14. Bakit nilagay ng Diyos yung mga pamilya ni Aaron at saka ni Moses dito? Dahil ang Biblia, hindi ito aklat ng puros mabangong mga pangako ng Diyos. Aklat ho ito, record ho ito ng kasaysayan ng tao. Kaya alam natin ang Biblia ay totoo. Wala na hong iba pang aklat sa mundo na relihiyoso na mayroong human record. Bible lang ang meron. Yung karaniwan sa mga aklat ng relihiyoso ay mahalimuyak na na pilosopiya. Pero pag tinanong mo saan nang galing si Moses, saan nang galing si Aaron, sino yung mga kamag-anak nila, wala silang record. Eh walang record yun kasi hindi naman nila alam. Inimbento yun. Eto, hindi inimbento ng tao, hindi sinulat ng tao. At nangangahulugan na alam ng Diyos, kilala ng Diyos ang bawat pangalan ng tao. God knows who we are by name. And so you have verse 14. These be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. That's Reuben. Hanok and Palu and Hezron and Carmi. And these be the families of Reuben. Then the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul. And the sons of a Canaanitish woman, these are the families of Simeon. And these are the names of the sons of Levi. And we finally get to Levi, basically. That's the ancestors of Aaron and Moses. And why did God put Reuben and Simeon? Well, because Reuben and Simeon blew it. You remember? Reuben committed fornication and incest, and Simeon's a bloody man. And none of them are worthy on their own. But when God redeems you, you see, when God forgives you of your sin because of Jesus Christ, God puts you in the covenant and makes us worthy. We're not worthy on our own. The only reason why we're in covenant fellowship with God is Jesus Christ. His name is the name, the only name that matters. Jesus Christ. So, these are the names of the sons of Levi according to the generations. Gershon and Kohath and Merari. The years of the life of Levi are 137 years. And the genealogy of Levi gets more attention than Simeon and Reuben and all the others. Joe, listen. Verse 17, the sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimi, and according to their families, and the sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar. And there's Amram. You remember Amram? Whose father is Amram?
Moses.
Very good. Sino yung nanay ni Moses? Oh, ready na kayo para sa exam. Very good. Izhar and Hebron and Uziel. The years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And the sons of Merari, Mahali and Mushi. See, if you guys are looking for good names, you know, if you get a baby or something, this will be a good good section here. Mushi, you know, Mushi. Mushai. Families of Levi. By the way, when you're reading the names, just read it with conviction. People are going to think that you're right. Verse number 20. Amram took him, Jochebed. Ayon si Jochebed. His father's sister to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. So there we have that lineage of Aaron and Moses. They're Levites. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. And the sons of Izhar, Korah, Nepheg, and Zikri, and the sons of Uziel, Mishael, Elzaphan, and Zithri. And Aaron took him, Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab, sister of Nashon, to wife, and she bare him Nadab and Abihu. That name will come up here sometime. Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Korah, Asher, and these sons of Korah are going to be very important down the road. You'll see. Asher and Elkanah and Abishaph, and these are the families of the Korahites. They'll be writing psalms later because they were spared from judgment. Not everybody was spared, but they were spared. Eleazar, Aaron's sons, took him one of the daughters of Petuel to wife, and she bare him Phinehas, and the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord bring out the children of Israel out of the land according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh king of Egypt to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt, and these are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh king of Egypt all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? So this chronology establishes the solid historical reality of Moses. Of Moses. All right? So next week, we're going to look at chapter 7, continuation of God's response to Moses. Because it's not, Moses' conflict is still not resolved. He's still wondering how it's going to work out. And the Lord will fill him with some details. The Lord constantly pushes us towards the will of God. Sometimes we find a little bit of the will of God, we're like, no, 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 are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want me to do? And our flesh, we're like, no, no, not me, somebody else. And the Lord constantly says, hey, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, go, I am the Lord, do this, I am the Lord. Oh, we have to always keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truths of the Word of God. And how, Lord, when we get so discouraged and so down and we have no way of figuring out how to solve things, we thank you that you manifest yourself as Jehovah God, the covenant God, faithful keeping God, the eternally existing God. And Lord, how often we always rely on our own strength and our own power when we should be trusting in you. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, and ask that you'd help us to rely on you, no matter what the circumstances look like, to trust your will and to obey you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.